Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 34A in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled, Is Hell Real? Part 6. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
So Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for today and we thank you for the power of your Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, we do ask and pray that your Spirit would be with us this morning, that you would teach us, O God, how to take your word, your promises. We ask and pray, O God, that all of these things would be translated into spirit. And through this quantum connection of the natural and the supernatural, it's our prayer, O God, that our and these words of your written word would transcend our minds and that they would turn into pure spirit. That the things that are seem impossible become possible. We pray, O God, that your gifts will be given out this season. The gifts of the kingdom of God would hit this sanctuary and these people. That the gifts of the kingdom of salvation, of healing, of joy and peace to the earth, we ask and pray, O God, could fill this house and fill our hearts. And fill these people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In this teaching of Lazarus and the rich man, we have seen, I'm going to quickly bring us back up to where we were last week. We're seeing this is what we call the sin of omission. And then this is the sin of knowing to do right and we do not do anything. Now, with that in mind, it sets the stage of the spirit world going to another level. We tend to spend our Christian lives trying to figure out what sin is and trying to not sin, perhaps, or battling sin. And to entertain this concept of spirituality, here we find that to do good and not do it, it says in James 4. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? It is called sin. Now, why is that important in the prophetic? The reason it's important in the prophetic is because when the Holy Spirit speaks to you to do something, it's always something good. Right? Can you hear that? So the move of the prophetic is to do that's good. That's the reason the prophetic is a team of offensive players, not defensive players. Every time a prophetic people get real defensive, it looks just like a religious spirit. So we see to do good and to not do it means that the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts to do good. Therefore, prophetically, if we don't do it, my question to you is, will it ever happen? Now, the one thing we've got to understand is for us to do good sets things in motion, in spiritual motion. It's like dominoes. When the Holy Spirit says to you, do this good thing right now. If you don't, to do that good thing right now means that a series of events will start with the very fact of you doing good. Can anybody feel what I'm saying? So, to do good and not to do it is sin. The reason is, it's not so much that you have sinned, but your good act will keep others from sin. Can you please hear that? How many people would like to help people not sin? That would be incredible. But the idea here in this spiritual understanding is when we do good, is there any good thing in us? The answer is no. But where does this good come from? It comes from the voice of the Holy Spirit to an obedient heart. An obedient heart is a heart that's ready to move when it hears to do good. And in that doing good, prophetically, let me ask you this. Do you really think that the Holy Spirit would speak something to your heart to do a good work and then it not be empowered? You see, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you to do good and you do it, then what you're doing has the power of the Holy Spirit upon it. Now, for some reason, I don't understand it, but you've got God's Word here. We've got the kingdom of heaven there somewhere. Through faith, our faith is the converter. Our faith is the converter of spiritual truth turning into spiritual reality. I hope you can hear me. The prophetic voice takes the spiritual truth and converts it into spiritual reality. That conversion, the word, in other words, these words in this Bible, somebody has to convert this into spirit. This is just mere words laying on paper. But somehow or another, we want them to become real. Right? Well, what the scriptures show us is that we are what makes it real. Now, can God make it real? Of course God can do anything God wants it to. He wants to do. I'm not talking about God here. I'm talking about us. God has called us to be the converter of this spiritual truth. We're the ones that turns it or converts it into a spiritual reality. This book doesn't become real until we act upon it through faith. An act of that faith is doing good. If you do good with somebody, it says here, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? It is sin. So therefore, me doing good starts a domino effect. Have you ever went up to somebody, the Holy Spirit said, bless them, give them a truth, or do something? Then all of a sudden their heart just changes because you did something that was good. It was birthed out of the Holy Spirit. But it was, in other words, I can do a good thing or I can do something good birthed by the Holy Spirit. Right? So I'm not wanting to do good out of my own mind. I'm wanting to do good out of my spirit. And when the Holy Spirit tells us to do good, then prophetically it is empowered from on high. It's with that prophetic empowerment that this book becomes real. I don't know if y'all have ever experienced this or not, but I have experienced wanting something, or I believe that I want something, but there seems like there is a... Sometimes when I want something and when the Holy Spirit wants something, it's not necessarily always the same time. Sometimes I want something good for somebody that the Holy Spirit didn't instruct me to do. I thought, well, that's good. Well, it is, but it's just good. It's linear. It has no power. It's a good thing. But then I can do good under the instruction of the Holy Spirit. And that empowered good changes someone's reality. So here we start finding, and with this sin of omission, it's the sin of not doing good. When the Holy Spirit instructs us to do good, all of a sudden, the definition of what sin is has just, the bar has just been raised. Here, I thought I was trying to not do something wrong. When we're being enlightened into this truth that we can sin by not doing something good under the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Jesus prayed that heaven would come to this earth. I would just like to shake the Church of Jesus Christ to this idea that the way heaven's going to come to this earth is through the church. That's the mechanism that he has created. It's the church. That this expression of heaven coming to the earth. That's the reason how can I say this? God in his expression to the earth had one person or one man named Jesus Christ that he gave an individual to be an expression of who he was. Right? Today, the person of Jesus Christ has been defined according to the New Testament, mostly Paul's writings. Jesus Christ today has been defined as the body of Christ, as his church, indicating that it takes the whole church collectively to represent one person named Jesus. Jesus is pretty big. It takes the whole church to express who he is. With that understanding, you can understand I tend to shy away from a one man getting any credit. Are you with me? I don't like for one person to look like a superstar, or this person's got the anointing and that person hasn't. Now, if you want to stop a move of the Spirit, you give one person spiritual credit. You can say, well, I'm going to be humble and not take any. It won't tolerate that. There can't be any. Why? Because the body of Christ is expressed as a group. One person does not entail the entirety of who God is anymore. It's taken millions of people just to represent Jesus. Are you with me? So therefore, I'm right happy to be part of the church, because I am now a part of the body of Christ. And if you want to kill a movement, you can take like the great Welsh revival and the leader of that movement. Outpouring, removed himself because he knew he was getting the credit. He removed himself because he knew the truth. He knew the truth that the movement of the kingdom of God, of heaven, comes through a people who know that it's about Jesus, and it's about Jesus collectively as a church. Why around here do we look down on people who blow smoke at people? I'll tell you why. It's because it's a reproach against the cross of Jesus Christ. No one in here has died the death of Jesus Christ. So it is a reproach against the cross of Christ when we blow smoke at each other that somebody's better than another. Are you with me? Has anybody got a witness? Why? It's because it takes the church to represent one man. His name's Jesus. Nobody's greater than the other. The Apostle Paul went through great detail to talk about the many parts of the body. As we walk in the understanding that we don't blow smoke at people. Do y'all understand what I mean by blowing smoke? Is that an old term? I mean, you build somebody up. If the Lord is moving through somebody, let the Lord move through somebody. You don't need to go up to them and say, well, now, boy, you're spiritual. Boy, God's you. The anointing's on you. I draw up every time I hear that. I mean, the anointing's on the church. Please don't reduce it to one person. It's on the church. And if we're walking in the anointing, the Holy Spirit will use everyone as he sees fit. He'll use one, I mean, in one revival I saw where God used the children, it's like the anointing was more on the children than the older people. Why? Because the older people took credit. That's right. Children didn't know to. They were just flowing with the Spirit. So as we're understanding the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven and the sin of omission, it says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and does it not, to him is sin. And to do good means that we are aware than anyone in the congregation, if the Holy Spirit speaks to them to do a movement that's good, then the Holy Spirit will be on that. And it's where their Holy Spirit and it's where God, you see, Jesus, understand Jesus. The Holy Spirit said this, that the Holy Spirit says it did not come to give testimony unto himself, right? In other words, the Holy Spirit would draw up if you brag on Holy Spirit. But we say, well, we got the gifts of the Spirit. Well, we do have the gifts of the Spirit, but don't brag on them because the Holy Spirit's already told us not to, right? Then Jesus comes on the scene. Jesus said, he prayed, he said, God, the only thing I'm after is that they might know you. Right? So here's the Holy Spirit doesn't give testimony unto himself. Jesus' greatest prayer was that we would know the Father. So the life of Christ has now been given to the church, the body. We're the body of Christ. I'm not the body of Christ. I'm a part. You are a part. And the way I understand this thing, a part cannot operate by itself and be a body. Is that not the way it works? So therefore, each part of the body is necessary to have a body. So when we start understanding how we honor, say honor, we honor each part of the body, then the body becomes honored. So we learn to honor everybody. Can you see how that you cannot have in our spiritual mindset an elitist or even a category of spiritual, less spiritual? If everybody's part of the body, each part is just as necessary as another part, right? You see, God couldn't give all of his glory but to one man. His name was Jesus, and Jesus is the only one that could handle it. So we can handle parts of it, the small parts of it. But as we honor each other in the body of Christ, then the Holy Spirit will move upon the body to do that is good. And as we do that is good, we prophetically set in motion the spiritual dominoes of life. And they start falling. And they start falling. The good begets the good. It doesn't. How much good is in one goodness from God? It starts falling. Good, 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 good. And then it goes good, 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 good. That's the reason I don't like too much spiritual weather reports on what the devil's doing. It's because we like to plant the good and it moves. All right, it's that mindset that we're speaking about here, this sin of omission. That's the guilt of the prophetic voice. The prophetic voice is to do good. And as it does good, empowered by the Spirit, good things start happening. Always with the understanding that we respect the body as a whole. Are the elders of a church and hierarchy? God forbid. The elders should be head servants. We're all serving each other. It's servanthood. We're serving each other. If we hit hierarchy, we're messing up. Our pastor's not in here, so I'll say this. Our pastor does not seek hierarchy. He gives it away. What if, and I'm not blowing smoke at him, I'm giving you a report of his spiritual demeanor. What if, in this season of giving, it's a Christmas season, I know all the arguments on why we shouldn't have it now and why we should have it now. In my life, I sanctified this time as a time I'm going to honor the birth of Christ. Everybody else can do what they want to. But that's what I've done with this time in my life. I'm going to honor the birth of Christ. What if in this season of giving that the Church of Jesus Christ, let's say if from heaven we've been given permission for the next 3 weeks to give away everything that the kingdom of heaven has to give. What if we had this mindset? As the body of Christ, we were going to give away. What if we had permission to give away everything God owns? What if we had permission to give away everything that heaven has to give? Next 3 weeks, to give. You can say, well, Alan, doesn't God always give us that? And I reckon he does, but let's concentrate on the next 3 weeks. If you know to do good and don't do it is sin, well, the gifts of the kingdom are good. Well, how do I give it away? You can say, well, Alan, it sounds good, but how do I do it? How do I give away heaven? Remember, you make it real. Remember, faith is what makes it real. Are you with me? When we are being empowered to give away that that's in heaven to the earth, it is a spiritual transaction. Trust me, the Church of Jesus Christ does not exist today just because of a book. It exists today because there were people in every generation that had faith in the book. The book becomes as real to the earth as the people put the faith in the book. The faith is what creates that that we can't see, but will be tomorrow's reality. Can you hear that? Sin of omission. Wow, did I get, I got to get past this verse. Now, the sin of omission, I hope you're with me as a prophetic people. To understand that we've been given permission to start these good things in motion. But what we're looking for is the guidance of the Holy Ghost to say to us, Trevor, go do this. Mike, do this. Dustin, go over here, do this. I have learned or been somewhat persuaded. There is an advantage to getting older. You've got more proof of how you don't do it. I have learned when somebody else is moving in that's good under the power of the Holy Spirit, that it tends to stretch me just a little bit. I'm like, ooh, I think they're going a little too far. Anybody got a witness? Well, you got to understand that wasn't a word to you. Good word to you was a good word to somebody else. And listen to me, a good word from God's always going to stretch status quo. How can something be transformed lest it stretches? So a transforming word from someone else in action will always stretch you. That's a witness to you. The Holy Spirit's just spoken right there. It stretched me. I can feel it. It's not in a good way. Stretching stretches. But I have learned to interpret correctly that the Holy Ghost is moving upon that person. Then you enter with them in prayer. Say, God, sick them. God, get him. God, make me more uncomfortable through that person. Lord, push us, stretch us, move us. Because that person's operating off of this prophetic good word. And it changes things. If you could see that your good word prophetically could keep someone from sinning, would you give it? Would you give it? Now, that's in times past. I'm going to move on. I'm covering this topic of hell in times past and now and future. Now, this sin of omission has everything to do with this topic of hell. I went over hell in times past, and I'm not going to go over that again, but I had hell in times past, where people would go after they died. Now, the reason I'm going through this quickly is my internet was down over the weekend. I wasn't able to send this week, which is fine because I didn't get finished with last week's. So I'm going to skip through these first ones, but I'm going to go to right here. Now, do y'all remember this chart I did where we speak about hell? And in the scriptures, it says on this rich man and Lazarus how hell was in the center of the earth. It had a great gulf in the middle. A lot of people didn't realize hell was like this before the cross. But before the cross, it was in the center of the earth. There was a big gulf in between, just a big space. Think of the Grand Canyon. And you had paradise on one side, and then you had Hades on the other side. And I mentioned to you last week about paradise was somewhere else before it was there. And you remember paradise, the Garden of Eden. So paradise was in the Garden of Eden, and it went to the center of the earth before the cross. But you've got to realize, paradise was fallen on the earth. So God moved it. When he moved it, he couldn't move it to heaven yet, because paradise is where sin began. So the blood of Christ had to be applied over paradise before God could take paradise to heaven. So David and Moses and everybody, they weren't in heaven when they died. They were in the center of the earth in paradise. If you will, the good side of hell. It's a gulf. Now you see all of this in this story of the rich man and Lazarus, where we get these revelations. The Old Testament, we went over the lost when they died. They went to Hades. The Old Testament saints went to paradise, Moses, David, and the like. Then we had the cross of Christ. Uh-oh, something changes. Something changes on how God is dealing with planet Earth. Did you know that God likes change? Did you know, as humans, we don't? That's your sin nature that doesn't like change. That's right. It's fighting God changing you. God likes change. He writes a new day every day. Now, Old Testament saints could not go to heaven until Jesus died. Then we see here the New Testament lost went to hell. The New Testament saints, though, after the cross, Jesus went down into the earth. You know the story. 3 days. Trevor taught on Jonah, this whole concept you can see under Jonah's teaching, where he went down for 3 days. The prophecy, the revelation is in the book of Jonah. It says Jonah died in the fish, or swallowed for the fish for 3 days. Truth is, Jonah died and went to Hades. And it was there, or to paradise, it was there that he looked up. God resurrected him out of there, spit him up on some ground. That was a type of the resurrection of Christ. So here we see, went down, cross of Christ, Jesus went up. Here we see that we had the redemption, and the cross changed the status of all the Old Testament saints. Now, my question is, did the cross change your status? Yes. It changed your status. It changed my status. Now, if the cross changed your status, can the cross keep changing your status? Yes. It's a living prophecy. It keeps moving. It keeps changing. Listen, everybody wants to get settled. Newsflash, it ain't going to happen. Why? Because God, you gave your life to Christ, and you are on the move. Now, I'm going to go through this one. Eternal judgment now. We see that our righteousness is through what? It is through faith. And it says in Romans 3:21, I'm not going to read this one so I can get on. But it says in Romans 3:21, but now. Say but now. But now. Now, we had hell in times past, but now, it says, apart from the law, righteousness has been made known. We move on through that. Now we are justified freely. And how are we justified? Now, we've got to capture this to move on in this understanding of hell. We have been justified freely by God's grace. You don't have to go to the center of the earth. You've also been saved from the Hades side of earth. When you die, you're going to walk right into paradise, into heaven. Now we see that paradise is in the third heaven. Here the Apostle Paul speaks about this paradise in the third heaven. And I'm not going to go through those scriptures because I did those last week. Now, heaven and earth, what is God doing? Times past, hell, center of the earth, paradise. But now, paradise is in heaven. But now, there's a group of people that has been justified by God's grace. And it's because of God's grace that He has chosen us to bring heaven to the earth. And the way God does that is through us moving through doing good under the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Now, God, say God has a purpose. God has a purpose in all of this. And I want you to see how the bringing the good to the earth is part of the main purpose that He has. In Ephesians 1:9, have He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His what? Whose pleasure? God's pleasure. Now think of this. God, do you have a pleasure? God has a pleasure. There's something that brings God pleasure. And He purposed it in who? Himself. See that? That He might gather together what? All things in Christ. So God had a purpose. Now remember, before the cross, all things could not be gathered. After the cross, He is now, God's got a pleasure. And if we want to bring God pleasure, we're trying to bring all things together in Christ. Are you with me? So prophetically, to do good is a good that's going to be gathering. Understand it, prophetic people. As a prophetic people, we're in the gathering business. Why? Because we want to bring pleasure to God. So we're gathering. Both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to what? According to the purpose. Say, God's got a purpose. And I think it's in me. Okay, with this purpose, God has a plan. Ephesians 3:9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which was from the beginning of the world, hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers where? In heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed. So not only hath God got a purpose, he's got an eternal purpose. So that means God has placed in you part of his eternal purpose. Can anybody see that? Well, if you're carrying part of his eternal purpose, you got to understand the part you're carrying, nobody else is carrying. God didn't create you to be a duplicate. No two people are alike. It's a testimony to the purpose that you're carrying. The purpose that you're carrying, nobody else has got. Why would Satan be trying to kill us one at a time? Because he wants that part of the domino out. Do you know you can set up dominoes, and if you take out two dominoes in a row, they won't fall? You can take out one domino, and it might touch. You take out two, and it won't. That's right. So in the spirit, you got all these pathways and all the purposes of God running around the earth. And you are a domino. You are holding part of his purpose. That's the reason you need to know to do good. And when he says do what you need to do it, because doing the good is part of your purpose on being here. Why is he trying to redeem you from sin? So you do good. Right? So we see that God has this. Not only does he have his purpose, but he has his eternal purpose. He has saved us and called us according to his purpose and grace, 2 Timothy, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Uh-oh, there we go. I just freed up a lot of time right there. It's not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. He has saved us and he has called us. How many people has God called? The same number that he's saved. So is everybody saved called? Yes. Is one part of the body called more than another one? No. It's the reason the whole body is important. The whole body is to be honored. How do we honor the whole body? It's by not honoring one part more than the other. I'm going to keep saying that one till we get it. Nobody's more spiritual than another person. If we don't get that, we're not going to get it. We respect each one the same. Whether you're in the hall or in here. Whatever, just doesn't make any difference. We're all the same. Now, according, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose, and it's by grace, by the way, which was given us in Christ Jesus. Here we go. How soon was it given? It was given to Christ Jesus before the world began. So, do you think God knew before the world began that we was going to be in this mess? Yep. God knew it. Do you think the kingdom of heaven is that worried? Now listen, we all know how bad a shape the earth's in, right? There's something in me that has to believe that the kingdom of God's doing greater on the earth than the kingdom of darkness. Now, there's just something in me that says that. But I'm in a little quandary here because for some reason, there's part of me is more convinced that evil's doing better than the kingdom of God. See, I'm in this battle. I see the news and I see everything. Oh, my goodness. Evil's gaining. Evil's got to be greater on the... We all tend to have this concept that evil on the earth's greater than the kingdom of God. Can't be. If it was, the earth would fall out of the sky. Because God's kingdom's what holds it here. It holds the stars. It holds everything. If God's kingdom was in trouble, we'd all fall somewhere. Because God's holding it all up. So how can the kingdom of God, how can the kingdom of darkness be doing greater than the kingdom of God? It can't be. But for some reason, when I see the earth, I'm convinced that it is. So I'm believing a lie. Also, it proves I'm seeing darkness more than I'm seeing God. By the very facts that I'm convinced. I'm seeing more evidence of darkness than I am of kingdom. But something in me says kingdom's got to be doing better than darkness. Oh my goodness. I find myself in this state that I need to learn how to see kingdom. My fallen nature is seeing darkness. I do real good. Let me tell you how bad it is. Does anybody want to hear? But my spirit man says kingdom of God's doing better. Oh my goodness. God, I need the eyes to see. I need the heart to feel. Let us see that your kingdom's holding the universe. So what in the world is going on? Could it be that the darkness's only weapon is deception? Could we be being deceived, even as believers deceive believers? If I knew, was convinced, could see that the kingdom of God was truly greater than the kingdom of darkness, do you think I would really be this reserved right now? See, I'm under the influence of darkness when I want to see His kingdom. Would it to be that our faith is empowered by what we spiritually see? There's got to be something that rises up in God's people. And we need to understand that God, each one of us, is carrying a little bit of Christmas. We're all carrying a little bit of God's purpose. Each person's got a part. We just all got a part. And your part's as important as another part in the purposes of God. So as we start seeing this thing, we're like, oh God, I do see darkness, but let me see kingdom. And for us to see kingdom, God has created what's called His church. He said, do not forsake the assembly together. Now, there's something that happens when we assemble together. And you see, when we come in these doors, let me share this with you. When we come in these doors, you can't talk football and Walmart and I'm not trying to be religious here. I'm trying to suggest something. You can't come in talking all this stuff and then come through the next set of doors and all of a sudden hit spirit. Maybe you can, but you're a whole lot better at it than I am. We come through the doors expecting. See, there's a synergy that happens. As Trevor and I talked this morning, there's a critical mass that happens when a group of God's people, He says, y'all get together every now and then. He said, matter of fact, it's not but two or three of you. I'm going to be in your midst. Well, goodness, if He's going to be in our midst for two or three, what if we get a bunch of two or threes? We get 200 or 300. We start creating this spiritual critical mass. We're all sitting in here in unity, understanding nobody's any better than another one, right? We're all sitting here under this idea that God's called us together. You see, there's somewhere that this knowledge, I can stand up here and teach Bible, but I can say according to his own purpose. I can say those words. And they can go here. But if you can't feel it here, I feel like I didn't get her done. Because when these words become spirit, you can feel it. You know what I'm talking about? And you can feel it. I still believe that Sunday morning's got to be greater than a football game. Sunday morning's got to be greater than a great concert. It's surely the good. If we're not there, let's just say we're not there, but we're supposed to, not supposed to be, it's available to us. That when God's people get together, can you hear me? It's the greatest show on earth. It's the greatest show on earth. And it's out of this expectation, it's out of this understanding that God's got a purpose. And in that purpose, that part of his purpose is in you. And this purpose doesn't happen for some reason. I don't know how to say it. I hope y'all can hear what I'm saying. You got spirit. Then we got words that talks about spirit and the world. But you got spirit, you got the world, and you got words in the middle. Somewhere or another, God's wanting the spirit to invade the world. Now, the words are done invaded. But the words ain't going to do it because the words got to turn into spirit. And the way they turned into spirit was we realize that we have a purpose in that spirit. And the purpose is under this idea to do good. You can say, well, do good. Well, I'll do good. But I'm talking about good directed by the Holy Ghost. That's prophetically good in a moment, in a second. We learn to move spontaneously. We operate in faith. God can say to you in Walmart, go over and give this person $20. You say, God, I don't have but $25. What do? We go give them $20. We just move in faith. I'd rather be broke with $5 as to have 20 with God as to have 25 without Him. Why? It's because a domino just fell. You did something good directed by the Holy Ghost. Listen, church. Church is supposed to be the greatest show on earth. I believe it is. I don't think we're quite seeing it yet. What we got's pretty good. But according to these words, Jesus said that He's in every one of us. Now, why in the world He said this, I don't know. But He went on to say, greater works than these are available to you. That's what He said. Now, what in the world we're going to do with that scripture, I don't know. But in the meantime, let's don't try to understand it. Let's just believe it. Now, next week, I'll try to get you out of hell a little further. But it's my prayer that we'll understand that God's prophetically calling us all to do good under His leadership. Just be attentive to this good of the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying good works. I'm saying good of the Holy Ghost, that we might see and be a part of the kingdom of heaven through this earth. All right, let's stand. I'm going to pray. We'll start our worship. And Lord Jesus, we love You. We thank You for today, O God. We ask and pray, O God, in the name of Jesus, that You'd make us aware, O God, of Your presence and Your Holy Spirit. Dear God, we're asking and praying that You'd invade this place this morning with Your presence with your power, with your kingdom. Let this be the Christmas of all Christmases, that we might experience, oh God, your kingdom, your gift of giving. Let us all give according to your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray, and we worshiped him and we sang. Amen.